Creating wealth through property investing starts with getting the right finance in place. At Finney Mortgages, our brokers specialise in investment loans. We know the ropes to get even the most complex deals approved fast. With easy access to over 50 lenders, we have the know-how and connections to get better rates, improve cash flow, and release equity fast. So if you're looking for a mortgage broker that gets property investment, book in a call with a Finney broker now. Head to finney.com.au, that's finni.com.au today.
This is a Momentum Media production. Space Connect Podcast. Stories, opinion, and insights on the key factors shaping the development of Australia's space industry and how you can connect your business with this emerging sector.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Space Connect Podcast. My name is Bella Richards, and as usual, I am your host for today. And I am really excited today because I'm speaking with some very important guests who have taken time out of their day to come chat with me and answer all of my questions. And look, we do this weekly now. We used to chat about the week's news, but we thought we'd kind of change directions a little bit and speak to, you know, major space players. And I honestly think it's such a privilege being able to facilitate these chats weekly. And yeah, I just think these conversations are really vital to growing the sector. So joining me on today's podcast is James Palmer, who is the director and owner of the Palm Branch Group, which does a lot of work in the space industry, including running the Space Centre Australia, which was actually established last year and is set to become a multi-use spaceport for Australian launch capabilities. And my second guest is Nick Mullings, who is the Business Development Director of Palm Branch Group and is working alongside James to deliver sovereign space capability across Australia. And both have many combined years of experience in space and business. And it is my pleasure to welcome them on the show today. James and Nick, welcome to the podcast. How are you both going?
Thank you, Bella. Absolutely great to be here. Fantastic. Thank you.
Hi, Bella. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about Space Centre Australia. Looking forward to it.
Amazing. Well, I'm just as excited as you guys are. So I like to do this with every guest. But before we get into, I guess, the crux of the episode, James, tell me first and then Nick, why you got interested in the space industry in the first place.
It's a long story. I'll try and condense it. My first part of my working life was in the military in the Australian Navy. And I've worked in a number of different roles there, including satellite communications. That led me into the defence industry after my time serving, working in various areas. And then that's one of those areas is where Nick and I crossed paths many years ago. But since then, I've worked with a number of different companies in Australia and in the US in satellite communications, launch operations, mission operations, and satellite placement. So I've been very fortunate in my working career to work in some very unique places in the space industry. And I guess over the last about 6 to 7 years, watching the Australian industry grow very rapidly across the board from between academia right through to commercial. Mm-hmm. And I guess the excitement grew when we saw the Space Agency finally come through to light, which was great. Another great move there. And one of the things that I've been working on in the background for many years now is launch infrastructure. And what is that and what does it actually mean and what should it be? And hence, you know, we got to a point around, it was actually the turning point for us was at the Andy Thomas Space Forum in 2020 and the forum there. And that was the turning point where made the decision, yeah, Space Centre Australia needs to start happening. And from that point, we've been working very hard and very quietly in the background, developing out that project. I'm sure we'll unpack that more shortly, but it's becoming bigger and more complex by the day. And we're really, really excited about the opportunities that it's going to present to the industry here in Australia, internationally, and also locally up in the far north part of Queensland.
Mm. For me, Bella, it's an exciting environment. You know, what an opportunity. I'm ex-Royal Air Force and I worked in airspace management during my service. And I see this as an extension. You know, so I have a fascination for collaboration of different services and communication systems to support that exchange of data. And I'm keen to be involved in this growing industry that will secure that framework for us, that provides the facilities that we rely upon every day. You know, all the information that the farmers get, the weather predictions, our banking transactions, all the navigation, everything that we rely upon. Through that previous work, I'm really looking forward to being part of an exciting environment that's not only going to grow the space industry here in Australia, but it's going to grow our position on the global market. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. Everything we rely on these days, you need space. So it is, yeah, it's such an exciting industry to be a part of. Okay, James, why don't you tell me what Space Centre Australia is and what you guys do?
Sure. So Space Centre Australia is a very large project. Basically, we're undertaking, and this is our own project within our group of companies that we're undertaking, to develop out a very large spaceport precinct. So you can almost imagine it like a international airport with all the facilities and everything that surrounds it, but it's for vertical launch and also return. So there is a lot there to build. It's essentially the launch facilities, and there's a number of different types and configurations there. There's also a large technology park precinct that has to go as part of that facility, and that's everything from accommodation, office spaces, development areas, manufacturing spaces, test, hot fire test zones, certification areas. There's an awful lot there, and that's all part of the evolution of what Space Centre Australia will be over quite a long time. Mm-hmm. It's very much a strategic port, so it's there for the long run. And, you know, what we've been doing is really working very solidly with the whole local community up in the far north Queensland region, right down to Cairns and further south, and even with government and various other entities, even as far south as Canberra as well, to make sure that, you know, that we're doing it right from the beginning. And there's a lot of flexibility that we have to have in that approach, because I think realistically the industry is young and new and growing. There's a lot of uncharted territory. There's a lot of unknown unknowns. So, you know, that's why we took it upon ourselves to fund the program ourselves internally. And, you know, we're hoping that it'll be something great once it's up and running. And we're looking at close to 300 full-time permanent roles up there for local up in the region. There's a large amount of spillover opportunities in terms of supplier opportunities and value chain opportunities for the greater region, even as far south as other states. We've done a lot of analysis and a lot of work on this state in the background, and it's the feasibility is certainly there for it.
Yeah, so it's not just like a simple launch pad. It's actually, you know, a precinct of, you know, facilitating basically all launch capabilities. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. So it certainly all won't happen at once as well. There's no way that you can do that. That's certainly not the approach. And reality also is that the, you know, the type of launch work that you do is very dependent on the type of launch system that you use. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. So with that in mind, we have to consider a number of different proven technologies out there already that can potentially come and use the facilities at Space Centre Australia when they're available, which means also having unique facilities to cater for those particular launch vehicle types.
And what's the timeline that you're looking at?
Yeah, so it's a very long timeline. This is a very large infrastructure development program. So we're looking at, the project's already in flight. We've kicked off. We're already doing quite a lot of work. We have a number of partners already contracted into the program at a very, very strategic level. We're looking at hopefully jumping into some boots on the ground work mid next year, which will be some prelim construction activities. Going forward from there, we'll be looking at the longer term plan at this stage. Going forward is around year 24, we will be seeing an initial operating capability for small to medium launch, and then year 28 onwards will be the final operating capability for the larger scale launch activities.
So it's definitely a much longer spanning timeline.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons why. It's, you know, reality is that, you know, we've got government, and government regulation is still catching up and still needs also time to mature. And we've taken the approach of developing at a similar speed or pace to that. Having said that, though, there are other things that we can do faster in terms of the other commercial property aspects, the other precinct areas that we can develop up as well. But there's, you know, there's those sorts of aspects that we've taken. The other one is also with environment. We've got, you know, we've really got four key pillars in terms of environment management. terrestrial, marine, air and domain and space domain. And reality is that we're building out some very unique management processes and plans there for a number of reasons, but more so the fact that in Australia, it's a unique country. There's still a lot of unknown unknowns in this area, especially when working with the various acts and legislations, the environmental agencies at state and federal level. There's a lot there that we have to do and work with. EIS will take quite a long time, and there's a lot of areas that need to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anything with space takes long because it's new in Australia.
That's right.
So, you know, it's great to be realistic. Nick, what is the future goal with the Space Centre? What do you see in the next 10 to 15 years as the result of, I guess, all of the hard work that you guys are putting in now?
Yes, that's interesting. All the points that James is making there. This is a long journey. It's not a sprint. It's a lot more in line with a marathon. And, you know, the next 10 to 15 years, we want to establish and set up those strategic relationships, not only with the Space Agency and the regulatory approval that comes with that, but we want to establish the successful relationships with the traditional owners, in the area. And we want to have worked with them in the design of the whole precinct, pulling through the culture and making sure we show the full respect, to the land and that environment. You know, we've got to look and we will provide additional opportunities to those in the local community. At the moment, up in Weeper, all the employment is driven by the mines up in the area. And so through the delivery of the spaceport and all the industry that's going to come with it and the opportunities, we're hoping to offer all these different work opportunities for the local community. You know, from the operational, that's the softer issues, but from the operational, the punchy side of the business, we want to have established those launch pads that, as James was mentioned, that we can do the small to medium to large launches. We know that over the next 10 to 15 years, demand is going to outstrip supply for launch facilities globally by 3 to 1. Mm. So we want to have those facilities in place over the next 10 to 15 years that can position Australia to attract international launches here into Australia. We'll have a number of different launches to attract the different rocket platforms. Now, each rocket platform needs a different kind of launch pad. So that's what we'll develop over the next 10 to 15 years. And we want to have established that full regular cadence of launches that will provide the security of the area and bring the jobs to North Queensland. But so we need that cadence. We need regular launches. We want to have those strategic relationships. So people talk about coming to launch down in Australia and they think of us in Queensland and use us.
So is Space Centre Australia specifically filling a gap that you see in the market, or is it kind of going hand in hand with what's being established as of yet?
It's a bit of both, I would say. I think there is certainly an emerging market, and especially in the last, and in terms of the gap, there's certainly been probably a big realisation on the gap after between Russia, Ukraine and Kazakhstan cosmodrome there. You know, we've got a scenario where a lot of customers have been left out in the lurch. Mm. And the United States is an option. It's very maxed out. It's very competitive. South America is another option. French Guiana, again, very maxed out, very competitive. Where does it leave you to actually do large-scale launch at the equatorial layer? There's not a lot of options globally. And also coupled with a lot of other value propositions, such as you want to be in safe, you want to be in a strategic first world type nation, you want to have an area where there's security. There's a lot of other aspects that draw customers in.
Yeah.
And I don't think it really means that it's a competition between other, whether it's launchers or facility owners. I think it's just that the demand is outstripping, like Nick had said, the demand is outstripping the supply. And there's a huge opportunity here in Australia, especially, albeit the locations in Australia are getting, probably the opportunity for locations is getting less and less, but there's a huge opportunity here in Australia to be developing this sort of strategic infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And that market will then be realised very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's where our assessment is at, especially with our economic assessment.
Yeah. Okay, on that, we will go for a quick break and we'll be back shortly. Okay, welcome back, everyone. So from what I know so far, the investment, which you actually think you did mention before, to this precinct has mostly been internal, but there is growing interest from external investors. Could you tell us a little bit more about this process and how that is going, James?
Yeah, of course. We deliberately took an internal approach from the beginning for a few strategic reasons. Infrastructure of this nature is inherently going to take a long time to build. There's a lot that's required. We sort of thought that venture capital, private equity may not be the best option, especially because it's not a fast return rate. The other reason is that we wanted to ensure that we were a fully Australian company, sovereign capability. We've been going along really well with that approach. I own a group of companies. We generate more than enough ability to be able to pay the bills, so to speak. But on top of that, we have had a lot of interest from external investors, much larger infrastructure, equity and capital funds that are very keen to come on board. And that is quite a big process that we're working through with our financial partners. And hopefully we should have some pretty big announcements on that very soon as well. I'm afraid I can't elaborate on it.
That's okay.
That might be, but there's certainly a lot of interest there. And we're at that stage now where there's a lot of people probably standing around the pool with their toes in the water. So not very far away for some pretty big leaps.
Well, that's some really great news. And who would be the main type of customers that you guys would like to attract?
It's quite a broad spectrum. It's not just all about satellite owners or launch vehicle owners. There's also, if we look at the broader scope and the broader picture with the infrastructure, with the technology precinct, there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of customer interest for development and raw manufacturing of components as well. There's also test and evaluation capabilities that we're building into the facilities that will bring in those types of customers to undertake that sort of work. And then, of course, the main piece is, even though I played it down, but there's the main piece, which are the launch vehicle owners themselves. And that's quite wide-ranging. There's domestic. In Australia alone, there are some really good and some really solid launch vehicle owners that we're working quite closely with, and it's really exciting to see their development. And we really want to provide a facility for them to develop further and expedite their development as well over the years. And there's also a lot of other launch vehicle owners and rocket owners that are international, and they're much larger systems, and they're the way more well-known, proven technologies as well. It's important to note that the type of customers that we work with, we've got to also take into consideration, under the flight safety code, that you've got to work with proven technologies as well. And that's very important for licensing and for insurance. So there's a number of different types of customers that we are working with to sum it all up. And that's one of the reasons why we're also making Space Centre Australia to be as scalable as possible. So that way we can work with, R&D right through to commercialised and proven systems.
Yeah, right. So the idea is that basically a startup could come and basically go from the beginning of the kind of research stages to right at the end when they can begin selling.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Wow. So it really is kind of trying to get everything in there and making sure that you can kind of support every stage of development.
That's the plan. Yeah.
Right. So I know in some way you're a bit incomparable to Southern Launch, but I did want to kind of bring this up because Southern Launch is also a company who's building a spaceport, which I think is very different, at least now that you've explained it even more. There is big differences, but what can Space Centre Australia offer uniquely to the space industry, maybe above kind of providing that whole of support? Yeah, what could, I guess, your company provide that's different to what's already out there?
Yeah. So, with our geographical position, we're going to bring flexibility with what Australia, the Australian space industry can offer. Your geographical position, no one size fits all requirements. When we talk about, Southern Launch, and we talk regularly with Lloyd and his team down there, and they're ideally placed for a polar launch. If you look at our location up at 12 degrees south, up on the North Cape, we're not ideally placed for polar launch. What we can bring is we can bring that flexibility to, for equatorial launch. We're up there, up 12 degrees south. We offer all the benefits of equatorial launch, and we offer that opportunity of flexibility for Australia in that we look to collaborate. We recognise to provide a resilient space infrastructure or space industry in Australia, we need more than just one location that can fulfill and deliver tasks. So we're offer that flexibility. We offer the equatorial launch that when we're trying to put a rockets up into geo or geostationary, through that equatorial launch, we can save power, we can save money, and we can get the systems up into the orbit faster and cheaper.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the key benefits that we can offer. That word of collaboration is key. We understand the Southern Launch or a couple of other launch sites up and around in Australia, but it's that collaboration is key. And I go back to the point that we need in Australia to provide in the future a resilient space industry that again can meet that growing demand. If we don't plan now to meet that growing demand, then we will have challenges in the future. And maybe we'll come on to discuss that a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, on that, we'll go for one more break. And when we get back, we'll chat a little bit more about the state of space launch in Australia. Okay, welcome back, everyone. So, James, a big fear for many who, I guess, observe the industry is the environmental ramifications of launch. Now, we've discussed a lot on this podcast that there is a balance. You know, you're not going to perfectly achieve environmental sustainability all the time with launch, but there are greater benefits for getting into space. But nevertheless, companies have received quite the backlash over certain locations chosen for space operations and, you know, its impact on locals and wildlife. I know this is, and I know a short answer of this for you guys, but is this important to Space Centre Australia? And how do you plan on, I guess, operating sustainably and in line with the local environment from the beginning?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. And I'm really, really glad that you asked it. Look, I guess it's one of our biggest factors in terms of measuring Space Centre Australia's success. I mentioned it a little earlier that to make it easier, we've broken it into four key areas of concern or of concentration, which is terrestrial, marine, airspace, and space domain. And they're all equally as important as each other. It's important to note, I guess, that let's have a look at other space centres. For example, Canaveral, that was started developing a very long time ago, and that was a swamp. It was built in an area that was uninhabited and unused, and society built around it. We don't have that luxury in Australia. The eastern coast, anywhere along the eastern coast, especially further north, is probably the best place to do any form of launch work from, where you want to go to the east or to the northeast. And it's very hard to do it from the coast. There's a lot of competition. You've got air corridors, you've got population densities, you've got maritime areas, you've got terrestrial areas of environmental significance, and of course the Great Barrier Reef. So it's very important that, the reality is that there needs to be a facility on the eastern coast, and the further north you go, the better, for a number of reasons. But whilst at the same time, we've taken an approach to look holistically at all these areas, and we've deliberately given ourselves time to be able to actually really analyse this and work very closely hand in hand with traditional owner groups. And, it's one thing that actually we came to a really, really awesome sort of point today where working again, another meeting with the traditional owners up that way, and we've already started our Indigenous land use agreement work, which is a fantastic thing for us. But we're building our environmental management into that, along with the standard approach to getting through the state and federal government approvals. This will help us a lot with making sure that there is full transparency and opportunities where we can actually probably answer those questions that no one has the answers to yet for the development and implementation of space infrastructure here in Australia. So, again, time is a key thing here, where we factor that in, and we want to be sure that prior to putting the first slab or the first brick down, that we've got this right from the beginning, because it's going to be very hard to change it if you mess this up. It's very detrimental. So the other things to consider here are, a lot of unknowns in terms of, we don't know what happens if something goes wrong in terms of the environment, in terms of the marine environment, in terms of the airspace environment. So there's a lot of other things that we're building out that are risk mitigation measures that we're putting in as part of our environmental management planning strategies and also our policies and procedures. And again, it's time. We need to make sure that we do this right from the beginning. And, you know, we've been very clear and transparent with all of this, with Space Agency, with DOR, with a lot of the other federal and state partners, agencies that we are working with, and it's pretty much all of them, you know, and ensuring that they fully understand our approach and the way that we're going to do this, because not every, again, like I stress this, we don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. So you know, we've got to take this in a collaborative approach and not be adversarial.
To add to that as well, you know, to show our commitment to that work environmentally, we're actually working with a local business located in Weipa who understands the local environment. They know the challenges. And mm-hmm. so, you know, they're going to know everything, you know, within that area. And I think that just shows our commitment as well to make sure, as James says, right from the beginning, we get this right.
Yeah.
And we're not going to go and do anything until we make sure we understand the cultural aspects of the land, the environmental impact, you know, on the land as well. And it's that long journey.
And also equally important is the airspace and space domain management sites. We know that there's a lot of work in the LEO space at the moment. There's a lot of stuff going up there and it's getting congested and more congested by the day. That will impact the way that we do projects, and it doesn't matter where you do it from. So we're working with some very smart people over in the United States, over in the UK, to help us with putting together, helping with, you know, our mission system, with enhancing all of our sensory systems and our data to fuse it into a common operating picture. Mm-hmm. So that way we know, you know, what's out there, what the windows for launch actually look like.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, we're making commitments in terms of space sustainability, you know, to be as take away, you know, to remove what we put up there in terms of equivalency. So one of the things that we're working on is a pretty unique plan to enable us to support the additional removal of space junk and extra and enhanced domain management for every sort of ton of you know, payload that is launched from Space Centre Australia and put into space.
That's really great to hear. And, yeah, I mean, this type of thing, as you said, both of you said, this takes a lot of time. But, I mean, I actually wrote an article recently about how the great thing about Australia kind of only now really getting into the space industry is that we kind of have that advantage of seeing what others have done before and being able to get sustainability right. So, yeah, I definitely agree. Nick, what have been some of the challenges so far that I guess you have seen in the beginning stages of this project?
Yeah, we've only got half an hour on the podcast, so I think I'll focus on the sort of main challenge that we've identified, if I may. And that is really getting the industry to focus on the importance of launch infrastructure. Mm. We see a lot of investment in the satellites, in the rockets, and so on. And they're key aspects. You know, there's no question about that. One of the key challenges we've had is really getting the wider community to appreciate the importance of launch infrastructure. Mm-hmm. It's like if you look at anything in the logistics chain, we get a wonderful fruit and everything grown out in the field. That fruit is wonderful and beautiful, but unless there's a medium to get it to the market, it's worthless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with all the wonderful investment that's going into the development of satellites to predict the weather, to support the farmers, to do the navigation and so on. But without that investment in the infrastructure to get these wonderful capability up onto station so it can carry out its task effectively to support us, that's a challenge. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're seeing, you know, with all the good work that, you know, Lloyd's doing with his team and the announcement by the previous government just before Easter in that 30 or 32 million to be invested in launch infrastructure, we're starting to see a greater understanding and recognition of the importance of launch, but we need much more.
Yeah.
And as James mentioned earlier, the unfortunate events that are happening in Europe, you know, with Kazakhstan as a launch, you know, pad being taken out as well, that's going to put extra pressure on the launch facilities. So that will be a key challenge for us. There's a whole host of other challenges that everybody has, you know, when we're building up a business. And, you know, we're getting all the dominoes all lined up nicely. James mentioned the work with the traditional owners. We're talking, we've got our environmental companies in place. We've got a design company in place to help us. We're talking to a lot of the large rocket providers. And we're talking to all the large international space providers as well. So all those dominoes are all nice and vertical at the moment. And the challenge now for us is to get them all to fall nicely in place and to get those guys to use another analogy, get those guys to put their toe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And support us in the delivery of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
if we're really serious about growing the space industry in Australia, then we need that resilience to have secure and a number of launch.
Yeah, definitely. And following on from that question, to end it off on a positive note, not that it's not positive, but why is building a spaceport, especially like yours, in Australia, crucial to advance the nation's industry?
Another really good question. I think realistically, we're in a very unique position in this country now to, you know, we're at the beginning stages of something great, and we can actually, we've got the ability, we've got the enablement to actually build a, you know, the strategic starting point for the space industry. It's the same as, you know, it's very similar to liking it to an airport, like I said earlier. You can have as many planes as you want, but where are you going to land them? Where are they going to take off? Where are the people going to congregate? How are you going to get on and off? And it's, how does that, it's even, it branches into supply chain. You know, so the reality is that there needs to be something there that's that core to the heart of that industry that helps with maturing and developing it out further. Once that's built, once that's there, the, you know, the supply chain will happen. There's no doubt about it. And you know, we're super excited about the other launch facilities that are in Australia that are being, and the people that are working ever so hard to build them and build them out further. And that's, it's just wonderful. It's really good that people are willing to take that leap and give it a real good go. But, you know, again, you know, these are the core things. It's the core infrastructure that's needed to house and to nurture and enable the development of this industry further.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as you said, you know, when you can have all the rockets, all the satellites, everything, but if you don't have the infrastructure to actually get them up into space, then there is absolutely no point. So really, launch facilities are fundamental to, I guess, the growth of the industry. But look, James and Nick, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It's really exciting to see what Space Centre Australia is planning on doing in the future. And I know that it will play such a big role in shaping the nation's, you know, capabilities and launch for many years to come. And I'm certain we will get you guys back on the podcast soon, because from what I can tell, things are changing rapidly. And we want to obviously keep our listeners up to date. So again, thank you both so much for coming on today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Bella.
No worries. Okay, to our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. As usual, we'll be back next week at the same time. But for now, goodbye.